God, I thank you, Lord, for this last week, this last session. God, what you have done, what you've done. 3 children have given their lives to you. 3 children, God, have eternally secured their eternity. God, that's what it's about. That is what it's about. Our babies being positioned in heaven, seated with you in heavenly places, and these 3 babies have positioned themselves with you, God. Man, I pray for an abundance of more. I pray for no discouragement on these mamas if their babies have not yet done it. God, we just believe in faith that it's coming. We believe in faith we're going to expect it. God, today, would you increase our faith to say, God, I know that you can. It's not that you will, but I know that you can. Because listen, God, I know healing happens whether it's physical or not. Healing always happens. It always happens. That is your nature. Our eyes think it has to be one way, God, but you have so many ways to answer prayers. Even if it's just changing our desire, God, you always answer. You're good. You are a good father. You give good gifts to your children. You move mountains. Even when we don't see it, you're working. And even when we don't feel it, you're working. God, raise the faith. God, as I've said so many times over these past few weeks, I believe, help my unbelief. God, may every mom in this room and listening say that to you. God, I believe you can. I believe you can. But God, help me in my unbelief and in my doubt. God, in this last charge, God, as it rings out and goes out and rest on these moms, God, may you allow your words to be the only words they hear. God, may you allow your voice to be the only voice they hear. Let them shake off what's not theirs to own. But God, may whatever you have to say through your word, may it stick to us. May it just be like the tar that they put down before they lay concrete. May it just be that, just it sticks to them, God, and it germinates and it goes to work in the soil of every heart listening. Do it. Do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor before you sit down and say, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. All right, Colossians 2:6-7. This is a verse I believe that our kids, I pray this often for my kids. This is a verse I believe our kids need to live into. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him. Pray this so often for my kids, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. I mean, is there not a, I mean, y'all, if you just pray this for your babies every day, God, that they would reflect your character in the things they do and say. It's not just in what they say, it's in what they do. How many of you have teenagers that have a lot of their friends that say they're Christians? But what they do should be should resolve that, should solidify that. Having been deeply rooted in him. And now, again, y'all, sanctification, it's until we die. And now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith. Help me believe, God, help me believe. Just as you were taught. And overflowing in it with gratitude. Man, I want my kids to live in that. I want to live in that. And then 1 Corinthians 3:10, our verse for this session. This is our responsibility, y'all. This is our responsibility as we position ourselves so we can therefore position our children. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else, right? We need people this session. Well, that has been overemphasized. We need community. We need people. Someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. This is our responsibility. I laid a foundation. Moms, as like the expert builder, lay this foundation in our kids. They're going to be able to live out that Colossians verse. Out of their identity, who they are, as Tracy gave us those amazing affirmations, and I hope everybody has been using those in your home, they can live out their identity, and they can live out their position. Rooted and established. Their foundation in Christ, y'all, is going to be so vital. Like a necessity for them as they embark and engage in this world. If you don't know, culture demands that we build our kids on this foundation, that we root our kids. Because y'all, do you understand what our kids are hearing? Do you understand what our kids are seeing? In universities, in public schools, in private Christian schools, the things our kids are being faced with, y'all, it demands that we build, that we lay a foundation. It demands it of us. More even than when I was laying that foundation in the hearts of my kids when they were little, it's more on you now. I'm so sorry to say it's harder. You've got it harder than even I did. You've got to be laying a foundation, y'all. I've told you this before. The things that are being blatantly said in college secular campuses, they go against the truth of Scripture. I've told you this. I don't know if I've told you this in specifics, but my daughter called me one day, and she, after the couple calls, she quickly knew she needed to call her dad because I was flipping some tables and going crazy on her. But she was told by one of her professors, her major is family health and sciences. Because of softball, she couldn't do teaching, which the Lord knew all along, because Sydney now has decided she wants to be a counselor, which I, as her mother, have all along. When she said, I'm going to be a teacher, I didn't even say, you're not going to be a teacher. I pondered it in my heart. It is a win for me to ponder anything, because I am a proclaimer, not a ponderer. But I knew that Sydney, that was not what she was going to be. And y'all, it's so cool to see that now what I felt, spirit, architect, getting the plans, God, I'm going to pray. This is what I feel. She's now moving into this. Like she loves to understand why people do what they do. It's been a very big thing in our home to be healthy spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And Sydney is moving towards that. But now what's the aggravating thing is she wants to diagnose us all, Phoebe. Whenever me and Sophie are in a spat and she's standing there, she's like, well, I'm like, ah. So, you know. But it's so cool. And again, she's still got to cut 3 years, so we'll see what the Lord does. But this is where she's moving. But y'all, so she was in this health, some kind of class. And the professor stands up and says, well, you know, there are so many genders. There are over 100 and something genders. And listen, I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody. Listen, I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring what Scripture says, okay? This professor said, there's over 100 genders, so we can no longer identify a gender. Y'all, the goal is to pull away your child from any foundation, to pull it out from under their feet, to make it sound sweet and kind and like a good human, to make it look enough a little bit like Jesus that they question. Now, this was just a blatant against Scripture, right? There are over 100 and something genders, really? Because, see, Genesis 5:2, if we're going to align ourselves with what the Word says, Genesis 5:2 says God created male and female. Now, you don't have to, like, again, don't email me, because I believe every one of us stand on that truth. If we're going to align with the truth of God's word, Sydney had to sit there and go, no. God says. And what God says is more valuable and the truth, and the buck stops with him. He says it's male and female. But this is being taught to our children. I could give you example after example, but I won't. Their lives must be built on him. I remember crying. I've told y'all this story. Sydney had a lot of opportunities and a lot of places that she could have gone for college, and Georgia was never one of them. And I remember I had never been to a big school. I went to Lee for a year before I went on the road. And so when she went to this official visit, it was a football game. It was always a Tennessee game, which my husband is a big Tennessee fan. And I remember, if I've told y'all this story, there was a little boy in plaid shorts, so cute. Todd and Sydney were down, and they're like right there by the hedges, and I'm having to go sit somewhere else. And I'm walking, and you know, Sydney's thinking, well, maybe I am going to commit here. I don't know. And I'm looking, I'm hearing all these words come out of these teenagers' mouths, and I'm seeing all these solo cups, but I'm like, wow. And I see this little boy in plaid shorts, and he's like throwing up sick, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I get close, and I know what's wrong. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, Lord, she cannot come here. And then just, I get up to my seat and I get a text from Sid. I feel the Lord leading me here. And I'm like, I do not feel the Lord leading you here. But guess whose voice trumps? And whose, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. So I say all that to say, I remember when she left, and that vision, that football game was in my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Not that she wouldn't be around it at Christian Unit. I know it's everywhere, y'all, but I remember the Lord gave me a specific vision of her. I literally saw Sydney's, from here down, cement boots. And the Lord said, I am cementing her feet in the truth of my word. Don't worry. I've gotten mad and I've wanted to flip some tables, but I've not worried because I'm trusting the foundation that she has been built on. Moms, your children need some cement boots. We have to be so diligent in laying this foundation. The world is going to be loud. It is loud. We must be projecting God's word, positioning our children louder. Now, this is not works-based. Don't hear what I'm not saying. James 1:22. I want to read that to you. I think we have it. Yes. This is the Amplified. This is not works. I'm not telling you got to strive and do all this stuff. Listen, but there is something that we must do. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. There is an action we got to do. Look at this now in the Message version. Did I give it to you in the Message version? I didn't. Shoot. That's okay. It's okay. Y'all, we have a responsibility. It's not works, but we have a responsibility. Our verse, 1 Corinthians 3:10, I laid. You said it. I laid. I've got to lay the foundation. It's not works-based. Look at Colossians 2:7. Sorry, Stephanie, if I'm making you. Yes. Colossians 2:7, having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith. Look at this little phrase, five little words, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. And one version says being built up, that built is a verb. To build upon, fitting on, which intensifies, to build up, edify. Look at this. I love the word of God. Following a plan with a pre-designed, predefined specification. Y'all, I'm going to go back to that. In the truth you were taught, who's doing the building? Who's doing the teaching? It's us. God needs people to work through, to speak through. God needs us. We can trust God with the results, right? It's not us that brings the harvest, right? Or the heart change. I pray this every day. God, you created their hearts. You can change their hearts. You created their hearts. You can change their hearts. But we can't expect to get a blueberry if we've made no effort to plant a blueberry bush. We have to do the planting. We've got to do the tilling and the toiling. I had somebody come up to me yesterday at school and say something about, just give me a compliment about one of my kids. And I just said, listen, it has not come without a lot of weeding and a lot of weed eating and a lot of going back and digging up. And listen, if you're sitting there saying, oh, it's too late for me, it's too late. No, it's not. Shut that lie off. It's never too late. God can do it at any time. It's never too late. Start today. You may have just started over these last 9 weeks. Praise God. God can accelerate, and I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Acceleration. 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 May his word and the planting of his word be accelerated in your home in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be a talker, be a repeater of truth. Continually being built up, continually building, continually planting. I'm so proud of my sister-in-law and my brother. She comes to Moms of Swords. She's the beautiful one over here with the beautiful dark hair. I'm so proud. My little nieces, they've got two little ones. And they, Tori has, through this session, she, or was it last session, Tori? Last session. They Vivi now, the only thing she watches is the Minnow app. And if you don't have the Minnow app, write that down. The Minnow app, she watches Superbook, VeggieTales, a Bible-based everything. And they have seen such a significant change in Vivi's behavior. Tori sent me a picture. She said, I guess we've been watching way too much VeggieTales because Vivi had an eggplant? A butternut squash. And she was carrying it around. She's like, I guess we're watching a lot of VeggieTales. But y'all, and listen, there's no condemnation, and I'm not being the Holy Spirit. She's not being your Holy Spirit. You take it to the Lord and decide what you need to do for your family. But as for her and her house, this is what they knew God was calling them to do. And they have seen significant. What was the story about Jonas with the staff? She had a pretzel stick. I mean, y'all, she has the pretzel stick, but she gives that it reminds her of Moses' staff. Y'all, she's four. She's four. Do you understand what is going on in that baby's heart at 4 years old? What is being planted? The word of God that is living and active. If you've got a four-year-old, give them a pretzel stick and say, that is Moses' staff. Tell them about it. Just do it. Totally radically shifted. And they have seen such a change in her behavior. And y'all, the eternal work that's being done that they don't even see that God's doing. Because listen, if you know, if you come in my house, my sister always cracks up, which I kind of probably shouldn't now, but I actually like it because I can kind of catch some things. I usually have on PBS Kids or Disney Junior, just because it reminds me of the sweet days with my kids. But y'all, those shows, they ain't sweet anymore. And I'm not gonna go there for fear of an email. But had Peppa Pig, Sesame Street, Doc McStuffins. Oh yeah, I'm calling you out, devil, right now, and your messages that are subtly going. Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. If you're mad, it's okay. Like, y'all, they're going after them. They're going, and listen, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you. Listen, I love the Halloween show. Oops. I love all the little seasonal shows that they have with the pumpkins and the dress up, and it's not sweet sometimes. You got to watch it with your kids. Watch it with your kids, because they are aligning with the world. And if you are wanting to align your home with the truth of Scripture, then you've got to detach your kids from the world and its messages. However Spirit tells you to do that. However Spirit, not Joy, not your neighbor, not Tori, however Spirit tells you. If he tells you, do not let your kid watch Peppa Pig, do not let your kids trick or treat, do not let your kids believe in Santa, do it. For me, I've got a lot of convictions. I never am going to preach a conviction to you, ever. Listen, I got a 21-year-old right now, and if you can imagine what I'm wrestling with. My conviction might not be her conviction. Please, Lord, let it be her conviction. Please, Lord. It's a conviction that the Holy Spirit has to convict her about. So my convictions, I'm not telling you to turn off. Do what Spirit tells you to do. But be aware, Mom. Be aware. You have got to be louder than the world. And the world is coming in the form of a little pig. And little brothers and sister, Mommy Pig. And the two Mommy Pigs. It's coming. Listen. At least until they're mature enough to have the conversation, right? Maybe you have to take it away for just a little until Vivi's able to understand, what does that mean? Saturate them in these little formative years. We've given you so many resources. Saturate. That's where the foundation is to be laid. The foundation is laid before 9 years old. You've got to position them. You've got to solidify them in the truth of God's words. And God's not a genie. I'm not saying if you do this that they're going to be these perfect kids. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying, why would you risk it? Why would you not? Why would you leave it to chance? Protect them, shelter them. Listen, I've told y'all, my kids grew up on Little House on the Prairie, and when they were older, Sydney used to watch Higglytown Heroes, the sweetest show. You can still find it on Disney Plus. Of course, we've cut Disney Plus, but it was so cute. Higglytown Hero. Anybody else remember that show? Yes, I loved Higglytown Heroes and Little Einsteins. John Williams loved Little Einsteins, but as they got older, I quickly was like, So we watched Little House, Andy Griffith. I got every episode if y'all need any of those. Gilligan's Island. See, y'all, Disney was different even 15 years ago when I was raising kids. You talk about acceleration. I'm believing spiritual acceleration for you guys. The world is bringing satanic acceleration. Listen, just ask God, what do I need to sprinkle in? Ooh, this is a word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What do I need to sprinkle in? And what do I need to saturate them in? Somebody write that down. What do I need to sprinkle in? And what do I need to saturate them in? Every kid's going to be different. Black Hawking, y'all, is a full-time job for y'all. Like, when we came up with those little sweatshirts and we just thought it was a great phrase, and it's true, but y'all, it's legit. You have to Black Hawk everything. Literally. More than even I had to. And y'all, it's only going to get worse. Bible prophecy, it's going to get worse. I am a faith-filled, and I am always going to bring the faith, but it's just the Bible. It's going to get darker and darker. Have you seen some of the family shows they are allowing children to watch and participate in? Y'all, it's imperative for you to build in your kids. Did you know that when you build a house, It's very interesting. Again, the Word of God is so cool. I love how God just is over everything. Did you know that every 18 inches, when you're building a house, every 18 inches around a perimeter of a house, there is a bolt, and it looks like this. There's a bolt every 18, just hang on to that number, every 18 inches that affixes, it's embedded in the cement, and it affixes to the floor of the house. Every 18 inches, there's a bolt in the cement that affixes to the floor. And in addition, there's something that looks like this. There are multiple steel straps, several feet long, embedded in the cement foundation, and later attached to the walls of the houses with fasteners. When do you usually shoot your children off? What age? 18. For 18 years, moms, I know some 17, but approximately 18 years, you get to apply and embed and encase little hearts in the Word of God. You get to affix your children's mind and anchor them to the Word of God, to the power of the presence of God. You get to embed them. The Word, it's going to attach itself. It's going to attach itself as you are intentionally, 18 years, you are intentionally affixing and encasing them. It's going to attach to their choices, to their morals, to their actions. You, mom, get to do this. You get to do this. You. Sure, you're going to have some people coming around. John William was here at youth last night, and Todd and I were ready to go get some Chick-fil-A after we had been at church, and we had to wait for him for 30 minutes because he was talking to our youth pastor. I'm like, well, how can we be mad about that? There's some people that are going to come alongside, absolutely, but guess whose job it is to encase and affix? We were sitting in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and Todd goes in, and John William says this, Mom, I need you to talk to me about relationships and about girls. Like, how do I talk to girls? And I'm like, well, you can't date till you're 16. That is our rule. I know. 15. He's 15. So I'm affixing. So when Todd got in the car, I'm like, babe, John Wim has a question. So Todd was affixing the Word to John Williams' choices. Because you don't want my opinion on how to, I'm gonna give you some examples. What does the Word say about relationships? What does the Word say about how you are to treat your wife to be? Listen, you wanna know one of my crazy prayers? Don't judge me. I am praying that my kids will not go through boys and go through girls like water, like I did. That won't be their story. I mean, can you just lock eyes with your mate and say, the Lord's written your name on my heart, and my heart, you're it. That's what I'd really love. It may not happen, and it's okay. But I get to embed in his heart, in his mind, you are to love your wife as Christ loves the church. You are to respect a girl. You are to be a gentleman. Those of you with boys, Joy Martin, three amazing boys. Y'all, we can affirm and affix in our boys' hearts to open up a freaking door for a girl. Amen. To look a man in the eye. We get to do that. I was sitting in the Chick-fil-A parking lot, and I was like, it's my pleasure. It really was. I mean, I was like, I didn't really want to talk to him about relationships, but I did. I had that moment. I was like, God, thank you. I'm at Chick-fil-A, and oh, he's asking me. He's asking us. For 18 years. Stephanie, will you bring back up that definition? Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Again, y'all got to look at this word. The Bible is so intentional. It's a verb. It's an action. Following a plan. I said that several weeks ago. You have to be a student of your child. And every child will be different. The plan will be different. So you got to get with the guy, the architect, for the pre-designed plan for that child. He's already designed them, created them. So God, I got to build because you need me. I got to be the one that builds. So God, what is the plan? I need it, Sam. I need it. We talked about the plans God has for them, not just one plan. That you are to get the building plans from your architect of your child's heart, mind, and their will. He has a specified design. You get with him, Mom. We're so busy, and y'all, I am so guilty of this. I am so busy being a teacher. I'm going to teach. I mean, y'all, and God gives me this middle child that is every bit of an introvert, a hider, tells me nothing. Alex sent me this thing. It said something like, my son could have, what would it say, Alex? Like 4 children and 3 wives, and I'd never know. I mean, and I'm like, that's Sophie Kate. Like, she tells you nothing. And Sydney, just like her mama, I could pontificate and talk every detail she was interested in. I mean, of course, there were some years that she wasn't. But for the most part, you know, and so I have to be a student more with Sophie than I did with Sydney. I was more of a teacher. Know your child. Be a student of your child. You might not need to be a teacher to that child, but more of a student and a listener. Get with the Lord and ask him, be a student of your child and build, affix, embed the truth of what Scripture says to every layer of your child's heart. The foundation, affix it. Affix the foundation of Christ to your children. Different truths for different season. Listen, you moms of babies, you can't really talk to them and show them a video of Moses and the staff and the Red Sea or Joshua and the walls of Jericho. But for the moms of babies and you have little ones, just build Scripture into them. Seeds of purpose. Play that in their nurseries when they're napping. Saturate their nursery, their nap time, their play time. Play seeds of purpose in their rooms. Speak the word as you're nursing that baby. Speak the word over them. When you're giving them that bottle, when you're feeding them their food, you moms of toddlers, now you can start introducing VeggieTales and Miss Patty Cake and hide them in your heart. Bible stories that the devil will lie and say, they're too little. The word of God, it ain't like physical food. It doesn't just nourish and satisfy for a time. It gets in there and it sticks. So you got a toddler, go get on Spotify, Steve Green's Hide Them in Your Heart. Start playing that in your minivan. Start showing them VeggieTales. Listen, the world's going to give them heroes. Oh, the world's got a lot of heroes that tells you the world's got a lot of women of the year that ain't even a woman. That tells you this is our hero. This is who you are to look to. Oh, but Psalm 16:3, this is what the truth says. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. VeggieTales will introduce your child to every hero that your children need to be looking up to. I could name off a lot of heroes that I would tell you don't. You can like them and love them, right? Don't hear what I'm not saying. But the godly people in the land, little one, are going to be your heroes. The ones with godly character. So you moms of toddlers, start showing them who the heroes really are. Elementary age moms, you start overemphasizing all that you've already taught them and start instruction, start applying discipline to them. In these years, elementary moms, I know this makes you sick at your stomach, but you're going to have the talk with them. Please don't leave that to the world to tell them about sex. Please do not leave that to their friends. Third grade summer, I had the talk with my girls, and Todd had the talk with John William. Third grade summer, because do you know what was already being said to them? I'm so sorry to tell you. Go back to our podcast. Listen to our awakening series. Elementary, this is when you're gonna have to start going against the truths that they're hearing. They are going to hear things that are going to go against the truths that you have taught them. And they're going to ask you. So be ready to give an answer to them in the elementary years. The middle school years, oh, these are my favorite years. My favorite group of kids to sub. These are my favorite kids. I know you think I'm crazy, but I love these hard and holy years. They're hard, but they're holy. Now is when they need to really know why your family values what you value. The world is going to hit them in these years. What they have been fed, they will crave. What you have fed them, they're going to start to crave in these middle school years. They're going to be confronted with kids that are just in their face with ungodly choices. This is when the rubber meets the road, is the high school years. This is when you need to start teaching them to feed themselves. You've been intentional of feeding them. John William, go do your devotion, bring it down, let's talk about it. But now I'm starting to go, John William, did you feed yourself tonight? I don't even ask my girls anymore. I'll check in every now and then, but I don't even ask them. Feed yourself. High school years, mom, you better surround them with some wise voices. Yeah, it's good to have some wise voices that aren't Christians, but again, why would you not? John William talking to Troy last night. That's a voice I want to let build in my kid. Oh yeah. You want to take him golfing, as that's what he does with one of Joy's boys? Okay. You better get some wise voices, because guess what? Your voice isn't the loudest voice. Your voice actually is like nails on a chalkboard to them. I had to have a talk with my middle, because she doesn't talk, and I want to talk. Every month, I'm about to explode, and I'm being really disciplined not to ask her a million questions all the time, but I just have to every now and then check in with her. And y'all, I can see the disdain in her face. Because my voice, she don't want to hear my voice. So you better get some people. I gave Sophie a challenge several months ago. I said, listen, you don't want to talk to me and Dad a lot, and I get's fine. But every month, you're going to come to me, and you're going to show me the mentor that you're going to talk to every month. That's non-negotiable. And you're going to tell me who it is. Because it's not going to be somebody that I know is not a Christian. They may be a great person, but you're going to be sitting down once a month with somebody that is a godly person that I know loves you and loves Jesus. And that's who you're going to talk to once a month. That's all I'm asking. Once a month. Surround them, y'all. Get them counseling if they need it. You're preparing them to launch. One author says this, I love it, intentional emancipation. That baby I saw, that mom is starting to intentionally get ready to emancipate her child. That's what we're all do. Intentional emancipation. They're going to leave you. They're supposed to leave you. The boy's mom, they're going to leave you. Todd loves to tell me that all the time when I'm real clingy on John William. He's like, and where's he going to live? He's going to live wherever his wife is. And I'm like, and I'm going to have a cot right there by their bed. I know, you moms and boys are going to help me. Intentional emancipation, it's the plan. They've got to go and leave. I got to wrap up, y'all. Do the work now, mom, so our children and their faith will be strong. It's not only about who your children are, but it's about where your children are. One last interesting thing about the anchor bolts. They're spread every 18 inches, right? They are used to support, right, the foundation. They're used to support. But listen to what they also act as. They also act as counterweights to weigh down the building and keep it on the ground. I love how God uses everything. The good news for us who are anchoring our children, not only will our kids be supported and affixed to their position and their identity in Christ, but they will be able to stand against all the things, just like those big buildings do. They sway. They've built them to sway in the storms. Y'all, that's our kids. They're going to be able just to sway when Sydney hears those things, when Sydney is tempted, when Sophie is tempted, she's just going to sway, but that foundation is going to affix her back to her foundation. And listen, your kids may have to walk through some things. God may have some hard things. Listen, in this world, you will have many troubles. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I know that our kids are going to have troubles, and it's going to look different. But I am a believer of my, I believe my prayers are working, and I believe the word is working. Don't believe anything different, mom. Believe that your prayers are working and that the word is working. And when you don't see, believe it anyway. Believe it anyway. This book, I've talked to you about it before. I just want to end with this. Parenting is ambassadorial work from beginning to end. It is not to be shaped and directed by personal interest, personal need, or cultural perspectives. Every parent everywhere is called to recognize that they have been put on earth at a particular time and in a particular location to do one thing in the lives of their children. What is that one thing? It is God's will. Here's what this means at street level. Parenting is not first about what we want for our children or from our children, but about what God in grace has planned to do through us and our children. Everything you do and say in your life, every choice you make, and everything you decide to invest in is a reflection of a system, internalized values in your heart. As beings made in God's likeness, we do not function by instinct. Rather, we are value-motivated human beings. Your words, your time commitments, your finances, your emotional highs and lows, your relationships, and your spiritual habits together form a portrait of what is really valuable to you. Think with me for a moment. If I were to watch with you the video of your last 2 months, what would I conclude is of true value to you? Or if I were to watch the last few months of your parenting your kids, what would I say about the level of importance given to the foundational task that God has assigned to you? Assigned to you. He needs you, Mom, to root and establish and affix your babies, to position your babies in the truth of God's word. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. even now, it is working. It is germinating in these moms' hearts and my heart. God, allow it to take root and do much in the lives of us and the lives of our families. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, moms. Go to your baskets. Go to your baskets. And share this message. Hey, share our messages on social media. Get these messages out there to the moms that need to hear it. And look at the Christmas ornaments and get a donut. Please get a donut and some coffee. Please get a donut. We got so many donuts.